get ready for transformation as you listen to God's word through His servant. For inquiries, contact the Seed Sowers Ministry on 080-666-27754 or 090-5221-6374. Or you can email us at the Seed Sowers Ministry 18@gmail.com. Be blessed as you listen.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Again, Lord, we are trusting you that as we move to series 5, you will help us on the proper understanding of money. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Now, let's take our bearing from Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. Chapter number 8 and verse 32. How does he say it?
He who did not spare his own son.
He who did not spare his own son.
But delivered him up for us all.
Yes.
How shall he not with him also freely give us all things?
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Honestly, that scripture is powerful. If God could not withhold Jesus, how will he not with him? You see that what God wants to give you is not outside Christ, it's with him. So what God wants to give you is Christ, and how will he not with him freely? When something is free, it's free. All you need to do is to receive. Is that not so?
Yes.
I said, is that not so?
Yes, sir.
It's free. So I want you to understand. Now, let's marry it together. Galatians chapter 3 verse 14. Let's marry it together. 13 and 14. Galatians chapter 3 verse 13 and
14. Christ has redeemed us from the
cause of the law.
Having become a curse for us.
For it is written.
Curse is everyone who hangs on the tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles.
That the blessing. So from our study yesterday, who is the blessing?
Christ.
So if God gave Christ the blessing, is it a blessing that is a problem to God?
Yes.
No. I'm doing a recap and it's necessary. We are saying that the greatest thing you can have is the blessing. It looks like a repetition, but it's not. It's not. It's the blessing. Now, stay focused. Don't look somewhere else. Face me. You are looking at me. You see, don't let distraction come now, because Christ is all you need to have. Not admission, not certificate, not money, not wife, not husband, not children. The blessing is Christ. That's all God labors to give you. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and 29. How did he put it? Whom he did foreknow, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of who? His dear son. All Christ. Oh, you see, look at that Romans chapter 8 now. Let's do a little digression and then come back. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. For whom he did foreknow,
he also did predestinate.
Now the word predestinate, what do you see there? You see destinate, and which is destiny. When you predestinate, a predetermined, what you call destiny. What Yoruba call akole. Is that not so? You will hear people say akole ni. Bolon she call ni. Are you with me now?
Yes.
What they call bolon she call is what they call destiny. Is what they call predestination. Are you following me?
Yes.
So you see people praying, my destiny must not be lost. Oh, my destiny. But according to scripture, what's your destiny in that scripture? He predestinated you to be what?
To be
conformed.
To the image of his Christ.
There's no destiny outside that Christ. What you call destiny, say, I must not miss my destiny. I must not miss my destiny. There's no destiny you are missing when you receive Christ. Oh, are you following me? You don't pray for a destiny when you have entered the destiny. Are you following me?
Yes.
Your response is important. Are you following me?
Yes.
So he predestinated to be like Christ. So all God was saying is, let Bisola enter our destiny. All the labor that God is putting together is that Daminola may enter our destiny. Rose may enter our destiny. And what is that? To be conformed to the image of Christ, the blessing. So the moment you receive Jesus, what God is now ensuring is your discipleship to grow more like Christ. That's your destiny. You were destined to be like him. There's no destiny to be afraid of. Holy Spirit of God. There's no destiny. Do you know when people pray and they're saying, my destiny? Oh my, what is it in their mind? Money. Big money, large house, enjoyments. You don't have a destiny to be president of Nigeria. It's not a destiny. You will be the wife of, it's not a destiny. It is as you grow in the person of Christ. Christ now say, where do I want to express myself? He can choose to express himself inside the market. You will find yourself in the market. He might choose to express himself in a political office. He can choose to express himself in a school. That's where he leads you. So your destiny is not where Christ chooses to express himself. Your destiny is the person, Christ, that you have now become and you are growing to become. So Christ may send Boseth to say, now I want to express myself in Osun State, in the political office. And Christ said, I will lead you to marry somebody. I want to make a governor because I want to express myself as the governor of that state. Being the governor's wife is not destiny. It is being like Christ that is the destiny. Are you following me? That's God may look at Mary and say, I want to express myself through her in the university. And Jesus Christ, who wants many more people, because the predestination is that men may be like his son. That's what he wants. That's the destiny. This is my beloved son, in whom I'm not pleased in anything else outside him. Anything outside him is nothing. It is in whom I am well pleased. So let's be careful as not to be material in our thoughts. Not to be materialistic in our thoughts. To be one day thinking that one day, you know, you'll be walking like this and be pointing fingers and say, who are those people there? You people should park that car very well. You know, you see yourself as, you know, one day you'll be so full of glory, and the glory too you are thinking of is to have money. When people call you and they say, look at where your mate have reached, Look at you. What are they comparing you with? It's with money. They now have. They now can travel. You know, some people say, you know, look at your mate now. He has gone to US the last day. The other day he came from UK. The other time he went to Dubai. That's not destiny. If Christ chooses to express himself in me, in a village. Oh, you are not following me now. It's not anything big that Bossy returned from UK. And then last week she went to US. And I'm still in Agbabiaka village. It's not different. That's how Christ wants to express himself. In me, he chose to put me in a village. We both carry the blessing. So there's no reason for a man inside village to be struggling for visa. So don't say, you know, if a lot be me see, if a more dagbasi, if a multi law school, Oluwaje Olumagbe mi jade, there's nothing like that. I was born in Ife, I grew in Ife, I schooled in Ife, oh God, when will I go out of Ife? No. If Christ wants to remain in Ife till 82 years old, you still carry the blessing. It's about Christ, not about yourself. Oh, it's like you don't like that one. You don't like Christ expressing yourself inside village for you. You prefer US, UK. You are still Canaan. So, you see, understand that if you can see that what God wants to give, you know, I said poverty is not lack of money. Poverty is lack of God in your spirit when Christ is not in your spirit. That has to be poverty. You remember that our local song. Some of you do maybe not like it. It says, Oje, Oje Alaini, Oje Alaini, Eniti ko ni Jesu, Oje Alaini. You don't know this song?
Yeah.
Ah! Joe? Oje, Oje, Oje Alaini, Oje, Oje, Oje Alaini, Oje, Oje, Oje Alaini. Then they say, Bolowo, Bolola, Oje Alaini. You see, that song looks local. But the Bible says, what shall you profit a man that gains the whole world, but loses his soul? He's a poor man. May God give you confidence. When you enter a circle of friends who seem to be using, you know, iPhone, all the kinds of big phones, nice clothes, and you enter simple, your head is still high. You are not looking down on yourself. You are not saying, you are not parking yourself as one side, as if to say, you know, sometimes when you enter into a party or something, by the time you see the caliber of people that you are, they are not like you, you can be unnecessarily humble.
Yeah.
Fake humility. You want to talk, but you just find out that these are not in my class. And then when people want to boast to you too, they say, what are you talking about? You are not in my class. So please, your destiny. Tell somebody beside you, your destiny is Christ Jesus.
Your destiny is Christ Jesus.
But your destiny is not in a place. How can my destiny be in a place? My destiny is a person. Not a career. Not a place. Look at, you know, yesterday I said, if you understand the blessing, we are too big to have money. We are bigger than money. Can you reduce me to money? Hallelujah. So, let's leave that. Are you following me now? So, you need to understand this background. I carry it. So, your greatest pursuit is your growth in Christ. Hey. Are you following? Your growth in Christ. Your increase in Christ. That's why Peter said, grow in grace and in the knowledge of who?
Christ.
Of our Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 2 Peter 3:18. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, your growth is important. Hallelujah. Amen. This thing helps you to rest. There's no more giri-giri for money. There's no. I pray God will truly give you rest in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You will not join the rat race of this world in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So understand this. When you see your body wants to cheat you, you better stand up. So that you don't miss the understanding of this time. The blessing is Christ. The Lord wants us to lay that foundation. Are you blessed?
Yes, sir.
Are you blessed?
Yes.
We saw that blessed is the man. So that I receive Jesus Christ, even God knows I'm not poor. The day I receive Jesus Christ, there's nothing else I can have. There's nothing else I can receive. Let me use that word receive. Are you following me now? Hey! It's as if the moment I receive Jesus Christ, God saw me as a billionaire. That if we wanted to express that aspect, this boy nothing to stop him again. So it's not what you kill yourself for. It's not. May the Lord help us in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You see, the way rich people look down on Christians is annoying. You know what? You know when they look at you and say, when you say I'm so brother so and so, and they say, where do you work? You say, I work in a primary school. The way they look at you will be adjusted. But if you say that I'm the general manager of Shell, Lekki branch, they will like to say, what's your complimentary card? It's how rich people do. But I wish you can enter where Shell officials, you know, Exxon Mobil officials, all the oil people, and you are a primary school teacher. I wish you can also enter with joy. Eh? And you not just go and sit and say, oh, well, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Something tells you that you don't have something. Oh. Better pack yourself aside. When they now call revival in your church, you will find yourself saying, Lord, when will you do my own? What do you call my own? When will I be like them? That's what you're saying. So please, amen. I pray God grant you understanding.
Amen.
That, do you know how can people receive Christ and they are still looking for something? You don't understand. Why are people going to church? Is it for Christ? To learn Christ? To increase in Christ? It is for what? They want to use God to get money. Our whole family is built on, brother, if you can fast for 7 days, get the fish, Psalm 90 Gbadua, Ogunyashi, what are they saying? They've reduced the Bible to a means to make money, to get money, to increase in favor. No. No. Let me ask you, how many of the apostles preach money?
No.
Hmm?
No.
What were they sent to preach? Christ. Because even God knows when you preach Christ, you will have that, you will receive that money. But Satan now said, don't let them preach Christ. So let everybody start focusing on money. Praying for money. You know, being carried away by money. You know, there's something God taught me. I don't know where I first had it. That even if you want to pray too, you like to tell God, God, provide money so we can do this. Who says God cannot provide without money?
Mm-hmm.
Lord, give me money so that. There are different ways God can meet your needs. It doesn't necessarily have to be through money. No. So if you are not careful, money is ruling people. Money is sitting inside people. Money is governing people. So get this clear once and for all. Have you made that decision to put money under your feet? It must be under your feet. Because Satan is where? So who is the God of Mammon? So where should he be? Under my feet. I rule money. Money does not rule me. Is it clear? Now, I want us to move on from there. There is There is something we are going to deal with today, a little bit. So let's look at let's close that that introduction up by saying the growth of your life as a disciple of Jesus is more important than anything. Your growth as a disciple, your growth in walking with the Lord, your growth in learning His word, increasing in the revelation knowledge of Jesus Christ is much more important than anything else in the world. Your growth as a disciple of Jesus, the passion at which you want to increase in the presence of Christ, loving Him, fellowshipping with Him, you know, knowing Him much more on a daily basis, is too important. Is the most important. It's important than this. It's important than big house. It's important than anything. If that thing is not clear in your mind, let me tell you, after this teaching, what will you still look for? You will look for money. There's no way. You can't escape it. It's everywhere. Who has money there again to give me? How much is this? What did we say? What was the question I asked?
How much is it?
Eh?
How much is it?
What was the question I asked?
How much?
Say it again.
How much?
When I say how much, what am I saying? Eh? 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 The value? Help me break it down. Okay, who can help me? I'm saying, to what extent can this thing achieve? And what was your answer? 200. I'm simply saying, tell me the limits of this thing. When you say how much, you are saying to what extent. So when you mention money, money has limitation. Oh, you are not with me now. Anytime you talk money, you must say how much. What's the value? Tell me the limitation. No, you see, each time they keep extending the limitation, you can only say 1,000, 2,000. You must still say something. Can you hear how much and you just say priceless? Is there anything like that on the earth? You hear how much is it cheap? Someone say, ah, yes, sir. It is expensive. How much? If you like, say $20 billion. Eh? Once you mention $1 billion, you have covered the extent. There's a limitation on money. Imagine how Satan is already wakodo. They give somebody two. Are we together?
Yeah.
Please let's be focused. I don't want this. So when they say how much, they place a limitation on it. There is a limitation on money. I don't want to put my life on what has limitation. I don't want to go to university to pursue what has limitation. What is not everlasting? That's what I'll put my destiny on. When you are working, what will they say? Ask you, how much do you want to collect? Have you ever worked in a company and they say it's priceless? Mm-hmm. Just come around and they say, after the interview, they say, so how much are you looking at we giving you? I'm priceless. Oh. Do you say something like that? If you tell them I'm priceless, by the time I start working 2 months, sir, your company move forward, I'm priceless. Will they employ you based on pricelessness? Mm. Even where you work, they reduce you to something. Mm. Eh? Where you work, they must quantify you. They say, you cannot collect more than 350,000. When the other brother that is collecting 70,000, now here you are collecting 350,000. You see, They are giving me 350. Ah, please help me find that job. Because you see, my limitation. It's not like your limitation. But limitation is what?
Limitation.
Even the richest man in the world has a limitation. Donald Trump, net worth. You know what they call net worth? His value. Hey! His value is $3 billion. His value is what? They still put something on it. What's the value of Jesus? It is the valueless one, that the value is beyond value, that God gave you. The value in Christ, there's no value on earth that can be compared with it. Open our eyes, oh God. You see why we are religious? We are religious because we don't know who Christ is. We don't know. That brother that went and bought Jesus, he said, how much are you going to give me if I sell Jesus? Is that not what he said? How much did he sell Jesus? 30 pieces of silver. Eh? By the time he saw that it's an innocent soul, what did he do to 30 pieces? He returned. So if you have Christ, hey, the value in you is... So listen, that already tells you that you don't work for money, because what you carry is beyond the work you want to do. Oh, you're not following me. See. There is no difference in working in Shell and working in primary school. I will explain when I get there. Because today we are crossing to wisdom. There's no difference in Rose working in Shell, Blessing working in primary school. There's no difference. What you call difference is in the money, the reward for what they are doing. Is that not so? Yeah. Is that not why people are saying, Oluwa shake me? No. Lord, do my own also. Lord, move away from this 2-bedroom flat and move us to 4-bedroom flat. Because we just want to prove. Have you seen somebody that has one wife, just 2 children living in 4-bedroom, 5-bedroom flat?
Yes,
sir. The other 3 rooms are empty. But he likes to go to church and give testimony that last week he moved to a 5-bedroom flat. Excuse me, is that serious?
No.
You see somebody getting things without purpose. He's just wanting to do it. We will get there. So, Christ... The value in the Christ you have will change your language. Now, how can you have Christ and somebody say, God said, me ropori epe? Excuse me, when you hear that statement, do you know that if you understand Christ, you should not be angry? Don't say that. How can you say that my head is not correct? Mm-mm. You don't know the Christ you receive. That's why you are talking like that. How can Christ be you and somebody say you can't amount to anything in the future? Says who? I have the Christ, the destiny, and you're still saying I can't. What makes you think I can't amount to anything in the future? Who said so? You? Who is limited like me? Telling me about the future. When somebody calls me and says, but when the way I'm looking at you are going to be a failure, says who? That I receive Christ. If I'm a failure, then Christ is a failure. Because it is his life that is in me right now. It must be a conviction. It doesn't make you necessarily afraid. You don't see a dream and wake up and be afraid. Because Christ in you negates every negative dream. That you must understand it. I don't wake up now and see someone say, I'm in Christ. This is the reason why you don't run around prayer houses trying to look for necessary something. Oh, may God help you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The most important thing is that are you growing as a disciple? That's important. I cannot overflow this. And when Christ lives in you, you find out that 2 Corinthians 5 verse 12 begins to operate. You can no more live for self. Because Christ himself, did he live for himself? So You know, when you are rich, you want clothes for yourself, things for yourself. But when you have Christ, let me quickly tell you this. Look at the selfishness that our life is built with. My name is Oluwagbemiga. It's a selfish name. Yes. Oluwagbemiga. Only might be Waga for coming, but Ugbemiga. My origin is Okonlawon. You know what's that? It will always be the head among others. It's selfish. Okonlawon. So ever leave the last. No. I found out that Jesus Christ, his own name does not talk about himself. Every other name has a way. Instead of this English name, right? Borrowed it from English. You understand? There are many names that are selfish. Several selfish names. But Jesus Christ. Jesus means Savior. For he shall deliver his people from their sin. He was born to die. Born to release his life. So that others can be helped. There's no selfishness in Christ. So when you begin to live the life of Christ, you don't live the life of selfishness. You see how selfish you can be. If you snap a group picture, once that picture comes out, who are you looking for first?
Yourself.
It's yourself. Once you are not fine, that picture is not fine. Once you are not fine in that picture is not fine. Even if that person is fine, I don't like this picture, it's not good. Why is my face like this? Just because of self. And that's why you find out that when you enter a bus and somebody said, please help me shift, what are you quickly doing? How will I shift more than this? What are you saying? I don't want to be inconvenient. Even though the person that is asking you to please shift, you see that person is almost sitting in a very small place, you will not shift. You will be blaming the driver. It's self. Everything must be your convenience, your benefits, my. It's about you, not others. If you understand Christ, then you are selfless. It's no more for yourself. Are you following this understanding gradually?
Yes.
It's no more about you. So let me ask you, why do you want to be a success? You know, if you are not careful, it's for yourself. Oh Lord, help our hearts. Why do you want to be a success? Yourself. I am successful. It's so that you can say like that. No. Let me tell you something. I'm shocked that when I was growing up, I used to wonder, how can a church organize meeting and people are praying, Lord, and you find out that they organize under 7 days revival. The same people come to pray. Is God wicked? The same Pepe Stella is still going in our church. Some people even owe inside church. You don't understand? Oh, we elect something. He will owe them there. This other group, you will hold them there. They hold outside, they hold inside church. And you find out that, is it that God is not, why is it that the people of the world, those people that don't know God, they are the ones that have fine cars. They are the ones that have big houses. Why Christians, most Christians, are the ones barely managing? It is that we who claim to receive Christ, we think other things are more valuable than the Christ we receive. And so our poverty will be at an higher level. Until the church returns to the value of Christ, then we are ready for material wealth. You see, the church is not yet ready. Imagine. Now, if I don't value Christ, when I now have money, what do you think I will do? How do you think I will behave? Do you remember the situation of this Big Brother Ninja, that they told one lady, I don't want to mention church, who is an usher. What did they say? What was the question they asked her? What can you do for 10 million naira? What did she say? And she even said, I am an usher in the church. If you can do anything for money, do you value Christ? So get it clear. This is the reason why the church is like this. We must reach the point where we value Jesus. I'm putting it into your heart so that you see, you know your outlook. Your outlook is there's nothing outside here that is so important and better than what you have inside here. No. There is nothing outside that is more important than what you have inside. There is greater is He that is in me than He and all the things that is in the world. What is in me is greater than everything in the world. That's why I said we are too big to have money. What is in me is bigger than what is in the world. Your problem is you didn't know it. What is in you is bigger than university certificate. What is in you is bigger than examination. That's the first thing to recognize, and that's the first thing you must be growing. So let me see you wake up during your quiet time passionately. Let me see you learning Christ passionately. What is in me is greater than the joy of marrying, the joy of having children, the joy of having a house. Greater is He that is in me. That's the focus. When we can shake people that have jeep and we are not moved. We can talk eyeball to eyeball and we are not begging. There is nothing in your money that I want. Mm-mm. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I went to preach somewhere one time. And I was to go to Benin Republic after that message. And there was no money to which to go. And I got there. Powerful ministration, the Lord had this way. It was a youth conference. And I was given a very good envelope. And the Lord said, return it. I said, Lord, what will I? You see, the way God was dealing with me was, He said, return the envelope. I don't, Lord, what will I use? Return the envelope. When I returned it, people said, ah, sir, please. I said, no. Because the greater one doesn't want it. Hey, amen.
Amen.
Again, they invited me in that same place. And they, those places, they used to give me good envelope. You know, you like to go to places where envelopes are good. Yes, if you are not careful. It's the places where envelopes are good that even a pastor wants to go to. This time when I went there, I was thinking that they would still give me envelope. No, they didn't give me anything. I was now waiting. That day I knew I was a lover of money. Though I'm a preacher. After I finished, I thought, you know, there is a sister that just come, which will just kneel down by my side and just do like this. I was looking for her this year. Hey. And I said, what is it that I've just preached sweating? There will be nothing. I searched my bag. I was sure that I found myself searching my bag for money. I thought, Fisib betting me money. Did they put it there and I didn't know? I sat and sat. It's not there. How will I get home? How will I do things? For that time, the Spirit of God said, you are preaching for money. You are not my servant. When you preach expecting honorarium, you are not his servant. Because you think money is a way to reward your message. No. So, we need to understand this. God is asking you to focus on the one inside you. Because He that is inside is greater than He that is in the world. Do you get it?
Yes,
I said, did you get it? So, your growth as a disciple is the most important. Your growth as a disciple, write that. Your growth as a disciple is the most important. Your growth as a disciple of Jesus is the most important. Your growth as a disciple of Jesus is the most important. Let's move further. Is it clear to that point?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Don't be tired. So, let's move from there. What is now the... You know, I told you yesterday that if we have Christ, there is nothing else we cannot receive. Is that not so?
Yes, sir.
I said, is that not so?
Yes,
now, how many of you have received Christ? So you are already blessed. You don't need to be looking for one necessary blessing somewhere. Now, let's go to what is the background for walking in material abundance? The background. Now, we want to go to the practicals now. The background in walking in material abundance. The background in working in material abundance. Series 1, we've been able to look at so many things. Series 2 to 4. Now, 5 and 6, we want to look at the practicals. What's the background? You know, money is material. It's on the earth. It's physical. Now, what's the background? What does the scripture ask to say? Number 1, holy living. Holy living. The background in working in material abundance. Number 1 is holy living. Holy living. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 6. Proverbs 10 verse 6. Psalm 21 verse 3. I want you, my dear sister, open to Proverbs chapter 10 verse 6. Sister Toyin, Psalm 21 verse 3. And Bisola, Psalm 37 verse 16. Let's look at those scripture. All of us will later look at Psalm 112 verse 1 to 7. Yes, Proverbs 10 verse 6. Now please, we will function strictly by King James. By King James translation. Because of certain understanding it presents to us. But we will reference other translation. Yes, Proverbs chapter what?
Proverbs 10 verse 6.
What does it say?
Blessings are on the head of the righteous.
Blessings are on the head of who?
Of the righteous.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Blessings are on the head of the righteous. Yes?
But violence covers the mouth of the wicked.
What is on the head of the righteous?
Blessings.
So God said He needs that righteousness. Your living a holy life is important as a background. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
See, push away holiness. Push away righteousness. You will be reduced to the category of the people who get riches without blessing. If you want that, go ahead. What has limitation is what you are going for. Go ahead. Yes? Psalm 21 verse 3.
When thou presentest thee with the blessings of goodness, thou sentest a crown of pure gold on his head.
Maybe you should look at it from verse 2.
Thou hast given him his heart desire.
Okay.
And hast not withholding the request.
Starts from verse 1.
He gives thy joy in thy strength, O Lord.
Now you find that God again here is talking about a king who delights in his salvation. Is that not so? A king that looks up to the Lord. What did the Lord say he has done with him? This translation.
For you meet him with the blessings of goodness.
You meet him with the blessings of goodness.
You set a crown of pure gold upon his head.
You set a crown of pure gold on his head. Holy living. Desiring God is important. Look at, who's reading Psalm 37 verse 16? Please read.
A little that a righteous man
have
is better than the riches of many wicked.
Read it loud and clear.
A little that a righteous man have is better than
what?
The riches of
what?
Many wicked.
Now, excuse me. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
When a righteous man have small, God says what? Than all the wicked people in different G-Wagon. We are following the Bible. When a righteous man have little, the way God looks at things, when a righteous man have little, they say it's better. But in our world, what do we say is better? The riches of that wicked man. The little that a righteous man have is better. That's what the Bible says. Look at Psalm 112 verse 1 to 7. We are just running through scripture now. We are saying holy living. Everybody now. Psalm 112 verse 1 to 7.
Praise.
Yes.
Praise ye the Lord.
Blessed is the man.
That feareth the Lord.
That what?
That feareth
I said that what? Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord.
That delighted greatly in his commandment.
His
seed shall be mighty upon.
Can I have another translation? Can I have your translation? Can I have translation? Wait, let's have that translation.
Shout praises to the Lord.
Uh-huh.
The Lord blesses everyone who worships him. And
gladly obeys his teachings.
Their descendants will have great power in the land.
Did you hear that? Their descendants will have. Is it God who said it? Are you reading from the Bible?
Yes, sir. Because the Lord blesses all who do right.
The Lord blesses all who do right. Well, another translation.
Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth.
They will be mighty on the earth.
The generation of the upright will be blessed.
The generations of the upright will be what?
Blessed.
Now let me tell you something. According to scriptures, your qualification for material abundance is uprightness. Holy living. It's number one. If I live in uprightness, I am blessed. I cannot lack. How does NIV put it, Joseph? Verse 3 says what?
Wealth
and riches
are in their house.
They are in whose house? I like that. We are in whose house? In our house. The people who walk in righteousness. Wealth and riches. How does your own put it? Good news.
Wealth and riches.
No, no. Good news.
Good news.
Yes.
His family will be wealthy and rich, and he will be prosperous forever.
Mm-hmm. See, if you are not careful as we go into this now, if you miss it, if you don't allow God to speak to your heart, then you miss it. Let me hear that translation.
They will get rich and prosper.
They will, not they may. It depends on what you can see in scriptures. It's not about how much you can pray. It's what you can see from scriptures. It's what you see from scriptures that becomes a conviction that will materialize in your life. Not just how much you pray. They will. Go on.
They will get rich and prosper.
Uh-huh.
And will always be remembered for their fairness.
They will all. Look at this now. There are some rich men that after they die, they are forgotten. The upright will not be forgotten in the land. The memory of the upright is blessed. Go on, NIV.
Yes,
verse 4.
Even in darkness, light comes for the upright.
Eh? Glory to God. Now, what do you think is responsible for the kind of things we experience? The blessing. One, our walking in uprightness, trusting in the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
That's what we are talking about. Go on, please.
Even in darkness.
Yes.
Don't.
Go on.
For
go on.
Those who are gracious and compassionate and righteous.
Those who are what?
Gracious
and compassionate
and righteous.
Go on.
Will come to those who are generous and lend freely.
Oh, amen.
Good will come to those who are generous.
Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1. Another person, Psalm 11, verse 28. And let's leave that point. Holy living, righteousness.
Psalm 11, verse 28.
Yes.
A good name is to be chosen rather than get rich.
Every translation open it. Proverbs 22 verse 1. What did he say?
A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches.
A good name. Hi. A what?
A good name
is to be chosen than what?
Rather than great riches.
Excuse me. Bible is powerful. What did they say you should choose? Out of great riches and a good name. Can I have another translation?
Choose
what?
A good reputation. Over
hey, your ways are higher than our ways. your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Another translation.
If you must choose,
take a good name
rather than great riches. For to be held in loving esteem is better than silver and gold.
When people honor and respect you, it's better than you have 15 Ivy Tech Jeep in your compound. Oh God. Are you following this? We are dealing now with the background. You know how carnal we are. We prefer to make somebody a deacon because he gives more inside church. People easily become church officials for fat tithes rather than good reputation. Pursue a good name, brother, than pursuing business. Are you with me now?
Yes,
pursue a good name, sister. How do we see you among the brethren? How do we see you? What's your reputation? Oh, are you following me now? Let me just say something. You think it's not alright? As I'm standing before you now, do you know what makes all of you to sit down to listen to me? It's a good reputation.
Mm-hmm.
You see how you wake up and you kneel down, two legs. How many elderly people than me can you disrespect when they don't have good reputation?
Yes.
You hear something like, oh yeah. You've not seen pastors with fat body, tall. And when they say praise the Lord, people look at him like, I better come out here. So you see that you came with your husband and you came with nice Jeep or your brother bought a jet. For we of the kingdom, you have not done anything.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jesus, because money has lost relevance in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you. You didn't do anything. You came. Just say if you come with good car and the soldiers followed you, you've not done anything. I won't see you and shake you and congratulate you. You've not done anything. We want to find out what's your reputation in the army. What's your reputation where you are coming from? If you must choose good name than choose a big house. All those that are going to bring brother Niger, is that a good reputation? Opening your body half naked, you say you are not sure. Is that a good reputation? Just because they will give you 10 million naira, you are mad. You have reduced your life to an animal life. If you must choose a good name. Are you following the Bible? Psalm, I wish I can move on from there. 11 verse 28. Oh, I think I missed this. Proverbs 22 verse 4.
By
what?
Humility. And the fear of the Lord.
You see, as you study the Bible more, you will be hearing God speaking. Humility and fear of the Lord is what?
Our riches and honor and life.
So if you, listen, when you are humble and you fear the Lord, what did the Bible say will follow you? Riches,
honor and life.
And honor. Is in your Bible?
Yes, sir.
True humility and fear
of the Lord
lead to riches.
Do what?
Lead.
You see, some of you think that being a Christian does not lead there. Amen. Leads to what?
Riches.
But they didn't stop at riches, they continue with what?
Honor,
because you can have riches without honor.
Yes.
And what? So it means you can have riches without honor, without long life. NIV.
Humility is the fear of the Lord.
Humility
is the fear of the Lord.
Its wages. Its reward are riches. By humility and reverence
of the Lord.
Our riches and honor and life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Did you get this false background? Did you get it, please?
Yes,
so you see, your growth as a disciple makes you to grow in the blessing. And then I said, when you grow in the blessing, you are entitled and qualified to possess riches. Number two, the background in working in material abundance. Number two, absolute trust in the Lord. These are the background. Now, I know that by the grace of God, those who will walk in what, take note of the objective of this teaching, is to open your eyes to the way. Number one is to make you see the uselessness of money, that money is nothing. Number two is to make you see, hallelujah, this I need silence. Number two is to make you see that what we call material wealth is something God wants to make us have, wants to make us receive. And I tell you that we don't have money, we use money. Is that not so? So these are things we use because they don't define us. Money does not define me. Absolute trust in the Lord is number two. Jeremiah 17. Let's start from verse 5. Yes, NIV.
This is what the Lord said.
This is what the Lord said. Oh, look at it. Who is speaking? Loud and clear. Who is speaking?
Jesus.
I want to say loud and clear. Who is speaking?
Jesus.
This is what the Lord said. This one is direct from his mouth. Yes?
Cursed is the man
who trusts.
Trust is the one who trusts in man.
Cursed is the man who trusts in man.
Cursed is the one.
Is the one who trusts in man. Yes?
Who draws strength from mere flesh.
Who draws strength from mere flesh.
And whose heart turns away from the Lord.
You see, when you are trusting man, you are not trusting God. Your uncle, one uncle is promising you something. Yeah, even if it's, you know, you can trust your office where you work. They will pay me at the end of the month. That's why you see a lot of people suffering. Because their trust is in their salary. Are you following me now? Their trust is in their, it's not in the Lord. We were not called to trust salaries. Salaries don't measure us. Salaries don't define us. You don't work for salary. We are going there. You don't do business for money. You are bigger than that. You do business for a higher purpose. God.
That person
Will be like a bush
in the wastelands.
Ah, go on.
They will not see prosperity when it comes.
Who will not see prosperity? The person that is trust, including trusting your father. You are not told to trust your parents. You trust your parents to pay your school fees. You will experience problem. Oh, are you following me? This is, children must know this. You can only trust God to help your parents. Your parents can't help you. Okay, what happens to your father that was paying something before and suddenly job stopped? Suddenly he became sick or something happened. Some people, their father died. Their mother died. Do you know if you... What makes people to cry when their parents die? Eh? Who we now take? See, I was shocked. There was a time somebody died. And my mother was crying. No, they say the person wants to die. Our grandma wants to die. And my mother was crying. Come on, I said, let's just pray. He said, she should not die now. She should not die. And so I was saying, mommy, you know the idea of she loves the mother. After God helped us and the woman came back resuscitated. So I was not saying, but why did you not cry that way? And then he said, you know, the reason, part of the reason is that when he now died, where will I see money? I'm telling you. To bury her, should do it, see me. So people can cry for different reasons. Little wonder you see Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ will meet you and will still ask you, what do you want me to do for you? Because your shouting does not mean you want that thing. It may be for another reason. So it's not everybody that comes to cry to you that has a good reason. I was shocked. I was shocked when my mother told me that, where will we see money? Somebody will not be put to shame. Where will we start gathering money to go and carry a dead person? And that, where is the money? I said, is that why you are crying? Yes, part of it. I thought it's because you love. Why do people cry when their parents die? It's not first for many. It's not just the love. It is that, where is support? That's why, if you look at it, after somebody died, take notes, after your mother died or your father died, pata-pata for 4 years, the person will recover. You will see, have you not seen final orphans? They live well. They say, well, my father died some years ago, my mother died some years ago. Do you understand? Because after some time, he has recovered from the mentality of who will support me. Let me tell you something. If somebody else came in and started supporting, do you know you will forget that sorrow in time?
Yes.
That's why it's truly God that loves you. Have you not seen husband that their wife died that they remarried? Wife that their husband died that they remarry. You see, the reason why many women don't remarry is that there are not plenty correct men in town. Understand that this is one of the things that make people do not trust a man, including your parents. Do you know some people are trusting the government? I remember God used to supply me, He will provide for me. I was experiencing miraculous provision. Suddenly I became a copper. I mean, a core member. They say it's not copper again. It's a core member. When I got there, they started giving us 19,800. Before I collect that money in the month, the Ghana State Government was adding 5,000. How much is that altogether? 23,500. So, you know, 23,000 era. I mean, that's something. But I found out that 24,000. I found out that before that money will arrive, I have spent it. Because I will have borrowed down. You know, it is that something is coming at the end of the month that increase your confidence to borrow.
Yes.
That's what makes many salary earners to be borrowers. Something tell them by the 30th, I will pay you. So salary earners don't easily trust the Lord. Do you know why it's good for us, people like us, that it's easy for us to trust God? There's nothing coming at the end of anything. So where will your eyes be? The Lord. But by the time they reduce your focus to 30th of the month, you see your eyes going away from the Lord to a date. It will not be a date. Toba de pari oshu. That's how your language will change. You become a monthly man. It's only at the end of the month you can do things. You know, I told God, I don't want to be a man that only do things at the end of the month. And that's not for pastors. Even everyone working in an office, they must take their eyes away. When I began to collect that 98, I will borrow money. All my supply stopped. I was the Bible study teacher, the state Bible study teacher, but I'm owing people. I owe a brother this thing before I pay him. And we lavish credits. Imagine me, Bible teacher, you hold this one, you hold kitchen. I hold this. I was way everywhere. One time I now prayed. I said, God, what happened? Before I came for service, you were supplying me. God said, since you started trusting the government, let the government take care of you. From that day, God said, lay down your 19.8 afresh on the altar. You know, I was shocked when the Lord said, when you collect it, it's not your own. So imagine me, I collect money now, I will now say, God, this is the money. What do you want to use it for? God said, you are talking. Because that's the way to live. You will now see somebody say, I carry this and say, go and give it to this person. This mission field. Do you know, after I began and I returned back to not trusting the end of the month. You know, how many, Brother Joseph, when you were in service, When it gets to 28, 29, what's the popular language among commoners? You don't see a lot.
You don't enter.
Okay. In our own place, you don't see a lot. Is the language? Have you seen it? No, I've not. No, you've seen. They've not said my own. It becomes a song. Yeah, have you seen a lot? And then somebody even sang. Now you even sang one song. Great, thank God, a lot don't enter. There's one song that. I don't see a lot. God win. It became a popular song that time. If other government now delay a little, people's face will be down. Once they delay on the 30th, the money didn't enter. It now enters the 4th of the new next month. You will see people down. Prayer, people can pray very well. These are Christians ruled by money. Their happiness, their joy is dictated by Naira. When I returned to trusting God, I was shocked. People started coming. Sir, the Lord said I should give you this suit. The Lord said. See, at the end, when I returned, I was getting more than 98, far more. I became a copper, but a core member that was very rich. When you are waiting for the end of the month, I'm just enjoying it all through the month. Because I don't live on the government. I live by faith. And I remember God warning me, this is what you must tell all salary earners. Hallelujah. So absolute trust. This man that trusts in the flesh is cursed. Go on, please. He now went on to say, blessed is the man. What verse is that?
7.
Blessed is the man
who trusts in the Lord.
Whose hope is in who? It's in the Lord.
For he shall be like a tree.
He shall be like a tree. Watch this.
The
man who trusts in the Lord shall be like a tree planted by the rivers. It will spread out its root by the river.
And will not fear. When heat comes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you know what heat like famine? When every other tree is careful, this person trusting the Lord does not fear because his root will constantly be tapping. It's like in the time of coronavirus, where everybody says, hey, there's nothing, you know, this man will not fear because supply will come. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I said, hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, I don't know. I can't speak beyond this. I can't speak beyond this now because of time. I see when this Bible is true in my life. He said this man is blessed. Whenever anything does not work anywhere, it will work with the man that trusts in the Lord. When doors close to the earth, it will not be close to the... God can't fail his word. This is your background. Amen?
Amen.
And then, you know, Proverbs 3:5, talk about trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, he shall direct your path. Number 3. Walk. We are looking at the background for material abundance. Everybody loud and clear, what is number 1?
Holy.
Loud and clear.
Holy.
Number 2? Now, number 3 is walk. Say it again. Say walk.
Walk.
One more time.
Walk.
Walk. In order to qualify, when God made Adam, he gave him walk before the fall. So we don't walk. We don't walk to be paid. Adam was made and was given walk without payment. We don't walk to be paid. We walk as a proof of our existence.
We walk
as a proof of our existence. So walk. It is only after the fall that God now said you will struggle. Are you with me now?
Yes.
The cause is not you will not walk. It is that you will struggle as you walk. Did you follow me to that point?
Yes,
before the fall, it was to keep the garden. It was to dress it. He was to walk. Naming all the animals is walk.
Yes, sir.
Are you following me?
Yes.
It is only that after the fall, struggle will join your walk. So, not to walk is to deny your existence. Everything that walks must walk. For anything to walk, it must be walked. Anything that walks must walk. You don't know a car by its beauty. How do you know a car? When it begins to walk. You are not with me now.
When you see
that this car is so nice but it cannot move. Is that a car? So our existence is proven by work. So work is a blessing from God. Work is a blessing from God. Work is a gift from God. When God asks you to walk, He's asking you to live. Because walking is living. Living is walking. Imagine you can only sit down. You can't do otherwise. Are you complete?
Yes.
No. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Imagine that everything in our system, what's happened to them? What's happened to them? They are walking. The digestive system is working. Even when you claim to sleep, your body is working. That's what connotes your life. So, work, don't see work as a, when you see work, embrace it. Say to somebody, but I say,
embrace work.
Work is good. So are you following me now?
Yes,
the only problem is when you now work for something. Oh, you are not with me.
Yes,
you don't work for something. At the creation of man, we don't work for. We don't work to get something. We work as part of our existence and fulfillment in life. That's why we work. What you don't work will not work. What you don't work will not work. You must see, as the next thing you must be thinking about is think of work, because work is part of your life. You must work. Now listen, let's say I must work, let me go and be working there. Get it clear. You don't work anyhow. You must be given the work you ought to do. Adam was given work. Did he just start there working? So get it clear. You don't say, work is good. Let me go and be working. You must be told what to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it's important. Now I can't finish this. You know, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 2, the Bible says, and God rested from his works. Is that not so?
Yes,
is that not so?
Yes.
And scripture is full. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Scripture is full of examples of work. Adam walked. Abraham walked. Isaac walked. The Bible says in Psalm 1, if you remember Psalm 1, blessed is the man. Stand in the way of sinners. He said, whatsoever he laid his hand upon shall prosper. So God does not multiply emptiness. 0 times 1 million is what?
Zero.
But when you are zero, no matter what they add to zero, no matter what they multiply with zero, it's nothing. God does not bless emptiness. He blesses the works of your hand. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Now let's quickly look at Proverbs 18:9. Our dear sister, Proverbs 18:9. Now let's read these scriptures fast. Yes.
Proverbs 18:9.
He who is slothful in his work.
He is a brother to him who is a great destroyer.
If we slothful in his work, he is what? A brother to him that is a great destroyer. Another translation says a great waster. So if you are not working and you are slothful in your work, you are a destroyer. Bible says you are a destroyer. So you see, you must always wake up and enjoy to work. Love to work. Not to be paid, but as part of your existence. Do you know that in the world system, we've been reduced to think of work as a means to get? Is that not so?
Yes.
That's why you hear people say, I cannot work for free. But you can work for free. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I said hallelujah.
Amen.
The Proverbs 18 verse what?
9.
Verse 9. Read it again.
He who is slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer.
God provides for the birds, but not in their nests. For the birds of the air, but not in their nests. They must go out. Even the small birds that I cannot fly, mama big bird must go out to bring. You see, God even did not fail that principle with animals. You must go out. So as you live a holy life, you absolutely trust, you must fulfill the law of work. Ah, time is not helping us now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Yes. Now, next scripture.
Proverbs 12:24. The hand of the diligent will rule. But the lazy man will be put to forced labor.
Eh?
But the lazy man will be put to forced labor.
Bible is commanding you to be diligent. I wish I had another translation for that.
NIV.
Diligent hands will rule.
But laziness ends in forced labor.
See, imagine you are a Christian. You claim you are a Christian. Holy living, you are not even sure, we are not sure about it. You trust in the Lord, but you don't want to walk.
Work hard.
See, did you hear that? What translation is that?
NLT.
Work hard and what?
Become a leader. Be lazy and become a slave.
Read it again. Please, let me hear good news and I'll go back to it.
Good news. Hard work will give you power.
Hard work will give you power.
Being lazy will make you a slave.
Being lazy will make you a slave. Background. You see, work is not, does not negate, in fact, the blessing. Who is the blessing?
Jesus.
Who is the blessing?
Jesus
said, I must walk the works of him that sent me. I must walk, not I may walk. Not I should have walked. I must. Walk is a must. I must. It's a must. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
So you need to understand that. And take notes. Once you start working for money, you have gotten out of your revelation of the blessing. Work is just part of your existence. Love to work. Love to work. Put this in place. Something is not arranged. Set it to arrange. Arrange it. Investing your spiritual life is a type of work. Do you know when you are sitting down with the Bible and you are reading the Bible and you are reading spiritual books, a lazy man will not do that. To be spiritual self is work. You must work. Our salvation is based on work. The finished works of Christ. It's a work. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you following?
Yes.
Is God helping us?
Yes.
Yes, next verse.
Let's
just move on. Proverbs 21 verse 25.
Despite their desires. The lazy will come to ruin, for their hands refuse to work.
Despite the desire of the lazy man, I wish. The Bible says he will come to one, a ruin.
For,
For what? Their hands. So, whatever you desire as a change in your life, there is a work price. Are you following me?
Yes.
There's a price tag of work.
Work.
Now, take note that God made Adam and he gave him work. So, work is a gift. Work is a blessing. It's a gift from God. Okay, let's King James and let's move from there.
The desire of the lazy man kills him.
The desire of the lazy man kills him.
For his hands refuse to labor.
His hands refuse to labor. Another translation, another scripture says, the lazy man, we always say, there's a lion in the way.
Mm-hmm.
He gives excuses for not working. Background. Number four. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. No, we have to move away from there. You see, may God help your spirit in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I say, may God help your spirit in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Until you understand the principle of walking. Not only walking around. We are going to stop at this point and pray. Read that your own. You should talk on the same thing.
Proverbs 19:15.
Laziness will cast you into a deep sleep.
An idle soul shall suffer hunger.
Can I have another translation? Proverbs 19:15. We will pray on this point. Yes.
Laziness casts one.
Let me hear this. It's the same translation. Be lazy.
If you want to. Sleep on. But you will go hungry.
Eh? Be lazy if you want to. It's a choice. So work is a choice. Idleness is a choice. Be lazy if you want to. Eh? Sleep on. I will do it later. I carry the blessing. You will be hungry. Yes, Dam Lola.
If you are lazy. And sleep your time away.
Hey! And sleep your time away. You will starve. Excuse me. Somebody is doing like this. I carry the blessing. Be sleeping. That your rababababa. Hunger will rababa on you. That's what will happen to you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
See, are you with me now? May God bring you to a strong hatred for idleness.
Amen.
Listen. You were built to walk. You were made to walk. I'm walking. You don't know I'm walking. I'm walking and I'm getting fulfilled. Nobody gets fulfillment outside work. You're fulfilled, even the blessing. Christ is a worker. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. He said, yes, I labor more than they all. So even the grace of God you receive that you don't put to work, you will receive in vain. That's it. I like that translation. Be lazy if you want. Sleep on. Hunger will finish you. It's not only hunger. Take note that it's not what is hunger. You see, it's a lack. You will find that once you break any of this principle, no matter. Even if you are born again inside, close to the tomb of Jesus Christ, where he rose from the dead. If it was that, when you wanted to be born again, it was in Israel. You traveled to, and the preacher stood at the graveyard of Jesus. And they were telling you that Jesus rose from the dead here. And you say, I surrender all. And you came back home to sleep. And you are sleeping all your life. You will die in what? In hunger. You can go and pray for 7 days on Mount Everest. Without the principle of work, go there. If you break this principle of work, you will be in poverty of material things. You may enter heaven. I'm sorry to say, I don't mean to say that You know what Jesus Christ was saying was different. But imagine Jesus gave a parable, the rich man and the beggar. Don't you see their difference?
Mm-hmm.
What is this one doing?
Begging.
Go and walk. You may end up in heaven, but yeah, you will not have access to material things. Oh, you are not. Are you with me? You must have genuine hatred for it. You want to pray on this. It's a spirit. Idleness can counsel you as a demon. See, when I was growing up, laziness was terrible. I don't know where I inherited it from. I don't know. When you sleep, you will be like you love your bed and pillow. As if to say, this pillow don't go. There's something you that like to roll and roll and roll. There's a scripture, time is failing me. He said, a lazy man will be turning on his bed as a door turns on his hinges. Have you seen any progress that a door makes? He goes front, he goes back. You'll be like the door. The idle man is like a door on his hinges. He turns on his bed. Yeah? You are like fan, rolling, but not making advancement. You see that? There are movements without advancement. It's a movement without. Have you seen families that all they are doing is like this? It's as if they are rolling.
Yeah.
Yeah? And they are still going to revival services because of laziness, idleness. See, learning to wake up is part of a discipline. You know, because your own master, the blessing, used to wake up early. You want to pray. This is what will finish you. And you must finish it before it finishes you. This matter of idleness. You see, remove this from your life. What are you doing now? Nothing. Somebody can say, Mary, what are you doing now? Nothing. Begin to change that statement. In fact, when you are doing nothing, say, I want to go and do what? Something. And when they ask you, what do you want? I would like to go and read. You see, start seeing yourself in work mode all the time. What are you doing now? I want to go and read. Do you want to send me something, sir? What are you doing now? We are doing nothing. It is in idleness. Satan can build a mansion in your soul. I want you to pray. Idleness is an enemy of your soul. Jesus Christ walked day and night to bring us salvation. It was a daily thing for Jesus to bring us. I want you to pray. You can stand. You can kneel, you can sit and begin to speak to God. Father, help me to live the way you live. Walk is a gift. It's not a curse.